Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of free Washington, Spokane Valley, deep in the heart of God's country in the American Readout, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's Election Day! Folks, it's Election Day, and we get to talk about politics for virtually the entire hour. We're going to talk about local politics as well. Because this is the year that we wake up and take our freedom back. And this is one of the elections we're going to do that, and most definitely in Spokane Valley. Because our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. And we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And as James 4:17 admonishes us, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him, it is a sin. And with Boehner out and Ryan in, you'd think there wouldn't be the tone deafness anymore in Washington, D.C., but it apparently continues. Unfortunately, continues. Well, now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing. On the international front, Russia continues to press the attack in Syria. Now the United States saying, well, we had no boots on the ground, but we all knew this. We talked about this a couple months ago. Of course, there's U.S. Special Forces on the ground. That's how they're keeping tabs on everything. Now they're making it public. Why would you tell the world you got special forces troops on the ground? They're supposed to be, by the way, operating covertly. Why would you tell the world that they're on the ground? Could it be so that Russia doesn't bomb positions that the U.S. wants to try to hold dear and sacred? Folks, it is a powder keg over there. If the Russians bombed a U.S. position and killed U.S. special forces, you could have literally the triggering of a world war. Literally, just something like that. Or if they bomb a Turkish position, which there are many because ISIS has been a Turkish proxy for a long time. Great article out on that this week, actually. And Erdogan just won his election last week, and now he wants to change the constitution in Turkey, which is since 1917, with Kemal Atatürk, been a secular, I'm going to say that in quotes, secular country. Erdogan has been literally, over the last decade and a half, intentionally trying to drive Turkey toward becoming a resurgence of the Ottoman Empire. Let's just be blunt about it. And he literally is doing it with the will of the people now behind him as of this election. And he, folks, if you want to know what's going on in the Middle East, watch what's going on in Turkey. It is the largest army outside of, well, and I'm going to use physical army outside of Israel in the Middle East. They're one of the most well-trained. Folks, there were songs written about British, Australian, New Zealand troops going in World War I, and about how they were sliced to bits by the Turkish army. Folks, this is not some ragtag bunch of people. You've got to watch what's going on in Turkey right now, and the fact that Turkey is a NATO ally, the only Muslim country that's a NATO ally. And they could have a Russian airstrike against them or one of their positions. And then what? They say, hey, we need to invoke the NATO treaty. And all of a sudden, that is by definition a world war. So keep your eyes on what's happening in Turkey. Also on the international front, China's inclusion in the SDR. And I'm going to continue to broadcast this so every single person in eastern Washington, northeast Oregon, and northern Idaho knows about this. China's inclusion in the SDR, that's the strategic drawing rights, the basket of currencies, the closest thing we have to a global currency right now, is quietly moving forward, and the United States has now given its tacit approval. Why is that important? Because as soon as China becomes part of that basket of currencies, what do you think happens to the U.S. currency? Well, it has to go down because this is the first country that's been added to the basket of currencies in 30 years. Oh, and that's really strange, too, that China has been hoarding gold here for the last few years. What if they back their currency with gold? It could drive our currency down further. Actually, could destroy it very closely. A lot of things going on. Keep your eyes on what's going on over there in the Middle East and what's going on with China. But not to be outdone, massive unrest in Europe, refugees, as we know, being shut out of Hungary, then going through Slovenia, 70% men, huge rape problem, huge epidemic there. And now, the headline on Drudge Report today, and folks, you need to go see this for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. The headline on Drudge Report today, Germany sliding towards civil war. Huge, thousands marching against the Islamic invasion happening in Europe. Bavaria rebelling and saying it will take every migrant and bust them to the chancellor's office in Berlin. I love that. I love that. Oh, you gotta give it to the Germans when they get mad, especially in Bavaria. Can't stop them. But that's what's going on right now in Germany. But underreported, and this is not just Germany, underreported in Sweden, 9 Muslim refugee centers intentionally torched in a coordinated fashion. And as I understand it, they still have not figured out who did that. But they have burned these centers, these Muslim refugee centers, to the ground in Sweden. And what you literally have is a physical manifestation of a rebellion happening in Sweden saying, no, we're not going to do this. And folks, I don't see it anywhere in the mainstream media. You go on to KXLY or you go on any, it's nowhere in the media. Why do you think that is? Because they know it's wrong. And as we broke last week, George Soros is greatly funding a lot of this stuff that's happening. Also, on the national front, Hillary Clinton, and I can't believe this does not have any legs. This is impossible that she is not in jail. This blows my mind. Literally, Hillary Clinton had a separate narrative for the Benghazi attack. And it wasn't on this poor schlep of a film producer that nobody had ever heard of. The other guy, the actual patsy she wanted to do, was Pastor John Corson from Calvary Chapel in Oregon. And he had written and done a film series on Allah versus God. That's who they originally wanted to pin it on, was a Christian pastor, but they decided against it. Folks, this stuff is real. It's real. I mean, this is an intentional deception on the order of magnitude of Joseph Goebbels, for goodness sake. Total propaganda intentionally done ahead of time to deceive the American people, cost an ambassador and several other good Americans their lives. Nobody comes to their rescue. Hillary gets caught lying about it, then gets caught with classified emails on a private server and all of the other scandals. And she's still a contender. Folks, if you know a friend that's a Democrat, man, it's all right to have differences politically. She is a criminal. How can you possibly even take anybody seriously on the Democrat side of the aisle when they're running somebody like that for their presidential nominee? I'm not going to say the Republicans are without blame here, okay? But this is clear evidence regarding Hillary Clinton. My goodness. And then we have Boehner finally out. Everybody cheers. Paul Ryan comes in, and the first thing they do is completely sell out the American people again with a vote on increasing spending and raising the debt limit. It's like they're tone deaf. I don't know. They're tone deaf. On a positive side, there was a Harvard study that completely destroyed the gun control agenda, and I actually talked to a national gun rights group today who wants to start working in Washington State. So stay tuned for that. They're going to be coming in here and helping us out in the fight because they understand Washington's a front line in the fight for the right to keep and bear arms. Also, and I'm going to keep reminding folks this, the Treasury is selling bonds at 0% yield. Okay, so that's like me saying, hey, everybody, I've got a piece of paper here. If you buy this piece of paper from me, you're not going to get anything for it. Okay, but at the end of the time period that I own this piece of paper, I'm going to give you back exactly what you gave me in the first place. Understand that's what that means. Okay. Why would somebody do that? Well, they would do that if inflation is really a lot higher than is being reported by the federal government, and they see that as a way to actually keep the value in their money because it's beating inflation. Folks, that is not only twisted math, but also a very clear sign our economy is in trouble. No matter what they say, they can continue to talk about this stuff, that everything's fine, but we have 95 million people out of work. We have 45 million people that have been on the welfare rolls for 54 straight weeks. That does not sound like recovery to me. And yet that's what they try to do and try to justify the selling of 0% bonds. Well, no wonder China is dumping those bonds at a record pace. On the international front, as I've been mentioning, the Washington State House gets a preparedness coordinator, and he sends out an email and says, hey, get your families prepared. Well, I want my guests to weigh in on this here in a second. I thought that was like conspiracy theory stuff. I mean, why would you want to have a house preparedness coordinator for emergencies? I mean, are you trying to scare people? And yet that's what they did. They hired somebody to do that. So my guest will weigh in on that, one of the first things, because to me, that's a signal that everybody should be preparing, because even the House of Representatives is doing it. Not the model of efficiency either. Also on the regional front, Anthony Bosworth was convicted in federal court. And the judge literally could not say that he couldn't have firearms in the plaza because there weren't any signs. Okay, federal law, that's an affirmative defense. You can't, there's no signs, then you can carry the guns. But they had to rely on some twisted logic about there being a parkade underneath the plaza and that he was somehow on top of a federal building, A, and B, that because they were transiting the plaza, that was part of the federal building then. And because they asked him to remove his firearms because nobody was really sure and he didn't obey, then it's on him. So let's get this straight. The federal judge didn't know the law. The marshals didn't know the law. The DHS guys and the federal security services that were on the ground there didn't know the law. But it's Anthony Bosworth's fault. I thought we were innocent until proven guilty, and I thought that it was their job to know it. That's how twisted things are getting, folks. Also on the regional front, Coach Kennedy, and I want to tell you something. We had literally over 430 shares on Facebook. That, folks, that translates into almost 50,000 people that have weighed in regarding Coach Kennedy and called the Bremerton School District and emailed the Bremerton School District and said, you know, this guy's the guy that did this, Aaron Lavelle, the superintendent's got to resign. Well, now I can announce tonight that we had a plan in place. We have two people that are Freedom Agenda folks running for the Bremerton School Board there. One of them looks like she's on her way to win, Naomi Evans, and also Tony Stevens. So please pray for those folks over there, because if they win, then there could be some significant pressure brought to bear on that school district and on that superintendent to get out of there. Freedom agendas everywhere, folks. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. The Lord put these folks in place, and we didn't even know any of this was going to happen. And there they are at the right moment in time to expand freedom and to rebuke this anti-Christian garbage that we see happening all over the country. Also on the local front, the largest voting bloc in America is Christians. The largest voting bloc in America that is not registered to vote is Christians. The largest voting bloc in America that is registered to vote but that doesn't even bother to show up, and you don't even have to show up at polls anymore. The ballots sent to your house, for goodness sakes. All you got to do is mail it. But the largest voting bloc that's registered and still doesn't vote is Christians. Folks, if we show up at the polls, we win. We had 20% turnout as of last Friday. I know it's up higher now. We've got to show up. And if we do, we will win. And that is The Briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for Patriot Radio. Please go to Patriot Radio US on Facebook. That's Patriot Radio US. Like the page. Share it with your friends and family. And if you want to support the show, keep us on the air. It's very expensive to stay on the radio. Go to VoteShea.com and go ahead and donate. VoteShea.com. And it's my pleasure today, because it's election day, to bring in somebody who is an expert on elections, because he's literally been doing this for three decades, been involved, been in the trenches, my good friend, Jim Robinson. Jim, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today.
Thank you for having me on today, Matt.
So I want to ask you this real quick question. So I'm looking at this preparedness coordinator hired by the House, you know, because I got assailed, literally assailed for, you know, talking about preparedness, and here then the House of Representatives hires one. You know, what do you think about that? Do you think the attitude's actually changing, or do you think things are getting so bad they actually have to do it?
I think things are getting so bad that the pressure that they are actually realizing that their neck is stuck out a mile. In this culture in which so many people pick up groceries on the way home for dinner that night, I think that we have potentially a real problem if something happens. You know, we as Christians were forced to walk down this road kind of like walking down backwards down a trail. You know, we can see exactly where we've been and the path that we've walked, but we really don't know what that next step is going, where it's going to take us or what's going to happen. And many of us are guilty of this linear kind of thinking, believing that tomorrow will be just like today, and which was just like yesterday, and so on. But it may not be. And what if it isn't? What if we have a Pearl Harbor kind of event? Once that happens, it's too late to start planning. All you can do is react. And if you're reacting without planning, all kinds of problems can happen.
All kinds of problems. In fact, that's the... That's the entire story of the House of Representatives just in general, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, I mean, it's so funny to me that we get assailed, made fun of, and then here they go and do it, and it barely makes a little blip on the radar screen.
That's right. And you know, anytime there's a potential disaster, predicted a hurricane or tornado group that may be approaching a town, every time local grocery stores are literally cleaned out of water and batteries and all those consumables that nobody takes an opportunity ahead of time. Maybe just a week, you know, or two of preparation would put them in a position where they wouldn't have to go racing to the grocery store to buy a case of water.
And that's exactly what does happen. They do go racing to the grocery store. That's what you see happen. And people, the panic begins to set in, and then it spirals. And folks say, oh, that'll never happen here. It happens every time there's a hurricane. It happens every time there's a massive natural disaster, like up in, sure, you know, Northeast Washington or with a mudslide.
Yeah, we are very lucky here. We don't have very many, you know, big tornadoes. We don't have hurricanes and very few earthquakes. It's been a long time since the ground has moved around in the Spokane area. So we're fortunate that way, but we can also become pretty complacent and start taking for granted that, maybe it's not going to happen ever here. But I think that everyone should have at least a pantry. And I see that happening in the House of Representatives now. They say, you know, maybe we better put together a pantry. Excuse me. Maybe we better plan ahead for in the event that maybe this big mountain just to the east of us might go boom.
Maybe.
Yeah. Who could have predicted Mount St. Helens before it happened?
Yeah, some people call Mount Rainier the most dangerous mountain in America.
In the world.
Yeah, it could be in the world. Yeah. Absolutely. It's funny, too. You know, I gotta mention this. So he sends out this great email. It says, you need to have your families prepared and everything, right? It was a great email. First email, great introduction. Yep. The next email was a duck and cover drill for the whole campus. And I thought...
I remember in 1956, my first exercise in the first grade, I think it was learning how to duck and cover. Or maybe it was the second grade. I don't know. But yeah. So I can see the entire legislature hiding under their desks on the floor of the House. It's a sight.
You can't duck and cover from a Lahar from Mount Rainier, you know?
As it's 50 feet deep, doing 70 miles an hour coming down the mountain.
That's exactly right. Well, I want to get your reaction to, before we get to the election races and get your take on all these. So there's a situation brewing down in Arizona. I didn't bring it up during the news part, but it's brewing down in Arizona with a rancher named Lavoy Fincham. Mm-hmm. Lavoy Fincham has had a great relationship with the BLM down there. Mm-hmm. And finally, he said, you know something, based on this court case out of Nevada, U.S. v. Wayne Hage, I have a right as a property right if I've got a preeminent, adjudicated, preemptive water right. I have a right of my cattle to graze within a half mile around that water right as a matter of property. I don't have to pay the BLM. And all those guys out there, including Glenn Beck. And, Glenn Beck has some great stuff he puts out there, but Glenn Beck was totally wrong on this. He said that Clive and Bundy had to pay the BLM. He did not have to pay the BLM. It was a ruling in a federal court that it was a property right. If it's a property right, you don't have to pay for it. He was so wrong on that, and he got caught up in this thing, and people just totally deceived him, and he bought it.
Sometimes Beck speaks before he thinks. I mean, he's him.
So, well, it's happening again with Lavoy Fincham down there, and Fincham just said finally, I'm not going to do it. He made a choice. He says, I'm not going to do this. And he said, look, you guys don't understand the property rights. It's already been ruled on in a federal district court, upheld all the way to the U.S. Claims Court. That's the equivalent for these types of cases of the U.S. Supreme Court. That's the ruling. There's no overturning it anyway. It went all the way up, U.S. v. Hage. And Fincham is basically saying, if you guys want to try to do something to me,
bring it on.
Bring it on. Yeah. And he's just saying, you know, I've had enough. I'm willing to put my generations old farm ranch land at risk because somebody in America has to say no, no more. What's your reaction to that, Jim?
Well, you know, first of all, of course, the elephant in the room here, of course, is the fact that he has realized that unless someone stands up and says no, that it's implied consent. It's basically saying, since you didn't say anything, you must be okay with you. And that takes courage, and I applaud him. Number two, of course, it does put his ranch at risk because the federal government has virtually unlimited resources compared to whatever resources he might have. Third point, of course, and this is a big variable, just what will be the response of maybe the Coalition of Western States or any of the other patriot groups and conservative groups that have sprung up over the last few years in response to this? Are they going to have his back? And that's something that I haven't heard yet.
Well, you know, Lavoy reached out to us, and he said, I may need your help. You know, he wasn't trying to be overly dramatic. He says, look, I may need your help. You guys have done this before. You did it right, and we don't want to make some of the mistakes that occurred down in Nevada.
Oh, yeah.
We want to do this right, and we want to do it according to the original intent of the Constitution and the original intent of all the land laws that were totally good for half the United States, but now that we're out west, they somehow change. And I was just, I was struck by when he said that he was one of the guys at Bundy Ranch, was one of the cowboys that rode up. And He said after that, he did a lot of soul searching. And he said, you know, sometimes we just, and I'm paraphrasing, sometimes we just got to put everything on the line to do the right thing. And I thought, wow, that is isn't what the American spirit is alive and well with the Boy Finch.
It is. And I think that it really is appropriate that spirit of freedom is becoming very apparent in the ranchers in America, because kind of dabbled around in ranching a little bit over the last 30 years and getting to know some of those folks in the cattle and farming business. These are people that work the land, that understand what a full day's work is, and it doesn't start at 8 and end at 5. It usually starts just before daylight and ends after dark. And when you work the land, when you're part of the land like that, you understand the relationship between freedom and the ability to work that land. So unless we want to be vassals, just being slaveholders on
the king's land.
On the king's land, that's right. If we want to be just another vassal, then that will be the way that we absolutely have to take part in this.
We have to, and it's going to take all of us as people, because here's the great Achilles heel of the federal government. They can't arrest everybody with these radical environmental regulations and this total draconian control over property rights.
Right. They can't arrest everybody, but they will arrest somebody if they can. They always need to have someone that they can run through the ringer to scare the daylights out of everyone else.
That's right. And, you know, some people really slammed me for going down to Nevada. And he said, why aren't you worried about your own district? I was worried about my own district, because if it's going to happen in Nevada, it's going to happen here too. And by the way, we have several cases now here in Washington State where this is starting to happen.
It's kind of like the Solzhenitsyn idea. You know, if it's happening to your neighbor, and of course Nevada is a neighboring state, and it's not right next door, but if it's happening to your neighbor, that's a harbinger of what will probably be happening to you if you don't take action at that time.
Yeah, and the great thing about taking action is it emboldens all your friends. You know, strength emboldens your friends, and you have people standing up all over the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's a lot of people that don't have that leadership ability to stand up and yell charge. And once someone does, though, then they no longer feel that they're all by themselves. And it can snowball. And that's the thing that encourages me about this whole movement. I know we've talked so much about the federal government just becoming such this monstrous leviathan that is completely disconnected from reality, is charging downhill at 100 miles, like this out-of-control train charging downhill at 100 miles an hour and just totally out of control. No brakes, no nothing, and no sense at all. And, you know, they're borrowing themselves, attempting to borrow themselves into prosperity, apparently, and it's never going to happen. So here we have a property rights situation that is brewing again. Someone has to stand up, and LaVoy, I applaud him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was having a conversation. I can't remember if it was message or text or email or something today, one of those electronic things today, mm-hmm. where somebody said that, you know, the federal bureaucrats were saying, oh, we're held accountable because we have meetings.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And boy, they do have a lot of them, don't they? They must be extremely accountable. They have so many meetings.
And they're listening to all of us all the time, right? And taking all of our great ideas into account.
Yeah. The bureaucracy at the federal and the state level, and of course, you know, when I worked for you, I was watching it, and I really felt kind of like that poor soul in the motel, you know, that wasn't all he was allowed to do was apologize. And the guy says, "What? Oh, I'm sorry." You know, because legislature, of course, only deals in longer term solutions. I mean, sometimes you're looking at 2, 3, 4 years down the road before before fruit finally develops on that tree that you're planting. But I know we're getting down a rabbit path here, and I am the rabbit king.
Well, you know. I think you bring up a good point, Jim, and this is going to tie back into the elections, actually. You know, the fact that they don't have any accountability, there's this fourth branch of government that has no accountability, and they think that, you know, that the proper response of the masses is, thank you, sir, may I have another, right? And all the ranchers are the farmers and the orchardists and the blue-collar workers and mechanics and teachers, they're sick of it. They don't want to have anything to do with it anymore.
Yeah, and so many of those people are, I mean, good workers. I mean, they work hard, and many of them really think that they're providing a really necessary service. The problem is most American people, unless they get a fat check from the government, really just want to be left alone. This idea of legislating and controlling every activity of your life and every activity of everything you own is the kind of thing that we used to equate with the Soviet Union.
That's exactly right. I hear it so much from the Ukrainian and Russian community. Mm-hmm. And unbelievably, some of their kids are now becoming super liberal and not understanding that the liberal policies is what they fled from the Soviet Union, and it just ends in tyranny. And that's what brings us back to the election. You got Lavoie Finchem, he's standing up for something. One person can make an enormous difference. I mean, you as the voter can make an enormous difference. And if you make a difference at like a city level, like the capital of Free Washington, for example, we've got two key elections that turns the control of the city council to constitutional conservative, mm-hmm. if two people win. And we all of a sudden start seeing resolutions that are anti-sanctuary city. I should say it's not anti-sanctuary. How about pro-rule of law? There you go.
There you go. Yeah.
It's a Second Amendment sanctuary. It's a sanctuary for human life. All of these things. And it's because you showed up at the polls. You voted. And you said, we want constitutional conservatives in positions of power.
To create a sanctuary for a right. minimalist, low-cost, low-impact government that right. doesn't bleed you dry in right. taxes.
And these guys will tell you, we don't want to be in positions of power. We want to be in positions of service. And very candidly, we don't even really want to be serving, but we have to right now to turn things around and we'll go back home.
So who are those two guys? I mean, they sound really interesting.
Well, they are really interesting because their opponents are totally anathema to Spokane Valley. Their opponents supported the gas tax increase. Okay, it was the largest tax increase in the history of the state of Washington, and supported the massive expansion of government. So those are things that clearly are the wrong direction for America, and yet they unashamedly stood for that. And not only that, one of these guys came to Olympia, shut the door, and actually said to me, you need to vote for the gas tax increase, even if your constituents don't want it.
And you know, that is such an insult to a person who has pledged lower taxes, less government, and more freedom, to walk into the office, close the door, and say, well, you know, and I know that really doesn't mean anything to you, that your word really doesn't matter. It would be an insult if it was me.
Yeah, he's basically asking me to be a liar. Mm-hmm. He was asking me to do. And I mean, just in the fact he had to close the door so nobody could hear or see.
Yeah.
All right, so who is running in the city of Spokane Valley? And here,
so
by the way,
who are those guys? Who are those Liberty?
You've got a couple hours left to get your ballots delivered, okay? Spokane Valley Library, they've got a ballot drop box there. You can get your ballots in, okay? Everybody listening, you can still get your ballots in. So Spokane Valley, City Council Position 3, Arnie Woodard is the guy that's running. We aren't even going to mention his opponent, but Arnie Woodard is the deputy mayor of City of Spokane Valley and has presided over one of the most incredible stories for a major U.S. city. And yes, Spokane Valley is a major U.S. city in size. Literally, Arnie Woodard helped preside over no debt except the 90-day revolving fund and a surplus where they could literally go without tax money for 6 months and still operate. That is impressive.
That is super impressive. What a political fresh air.
Yeah, as opposed to what we have been served. Then, for City Council Position 6 in Spokane Valley, Sam Wood is running for the first time, and his opponent is the one that actually closed the door and did all that stuff. But Sam Wood is a freedom fighter. He he's been on the scope board. He has not just talked about fiscal responsibility, but he's actually lived it, and he is very proud of his social conservative credentials. He doesn't run away from being pro-life.
That's right. And so Sam Wood and Arnie Woodard.
Sam Wood.
Those are easy to remember.
They are.
And by the way, I think you have until 6 o'clock to get your ballot in by mail if you go out to the Opportunity post office, right?
Yep.
Okay.
So get your ballot in. There should be no reason. And the turnout is so low right now. Your vote is going to have probably double the impact because there's not that many people voting. I mean, we're down below 50%.
Well, we're talking to the Christian community, right? I mean, this is the American Christian Network.
It is.
So we're sort of preaching to the choir. And if the Christian community comes out and votes strong when there's only a 20% show at the polls, well, tell us what would happen, Matt.
It would be a landslide, is what would happen.
Yeah.
For conservative principles and constitutional conservatives.
So when we show up.
When we show up. We don't show up. Yeah, of course they win.
So
of course they do.
When we show up, we win.
Yep. And the other thing that's been happening too is that, you know, the city of Spokane Valley has been leading in the state of Washington as a major city in Washington State and in the country. It has been leading and emboldening other cities to start changing their policies. Mm-hmm. So now we can make sure that we remain the capital of free Washington if these two guys get in, Sam Wood and Arnie Woodard. Mm-hmm. But let's move to, some may call it behind enemy lines, but let's move to city of Spokane.
Oh, I have heard of that.
It's almost like East Berlin. It's weird.
Yeah,
you know,
it's sort of like the other side of the wall.
It's really weird. But there has been a so-called curse over the mayor's office for, I don't even, what, four decades? I can't even remember. And Mayor David Condon is running again for a second term. And the curse is that no mayor has gotten a second term, although he looks like he may actually pull this out. What's your take on Dave Condon?
You know, as opposed to his opponent?
Well, yeah. I mean, so you have the city of Spokane, and you've got Mike Fagan by himself. I mean, I feel bad for Mike, you know, he's by himself right now fighting the good fight. And, you know, the city council president's horrible. We'll get to that here in a second. Mm-hmm. But Spokane has just gone downhill. And I mean, it's been good for Spokane Valley as businesses start moving out to Spokane Valley. But the folks in Spokane, I mean, it's just, you know, Mayor Condon's tried to bring jobs in. He's tried to turn it around compared to his opponent who wants to implement this workers' bill of rights and all the socialist stuff.
Yeah, well, here's my take on it, because I always thought that the mayor was supposed to set the tone for an administration. And it seems to me that it pretty much the tail is wagging the dog in the city of Spokane. And the council itself is so out of control, and I do feel for Mike Fagan. I mean, he is standing tall for doing the right thing. And speaking out about it, I mean, boldly, man, I got to tell you, it takes guts to do that. And you've got to, you know, like I've always said, I mean, you got to have the guts of a government mule and a hide thicker than a 10-year-old bull.
That's thick, by the way.
That is really thick.
Well, let's talk about the city council president position. So the mayor is part of the solution, but the city council president position is... Well, let's just – Ben Stuckert is one of the most tyrannical politicians I have ever witnessed since I first got involved. He storms out of the chambers, has denied the people their right to a voice. He literally kind of threw a little tantrum and walked out, threw his gavel down, the whole thing. And then he honors – and folks, you got to understand this. The Muslim Brotherhood, okay – actually was the subject of a trial here in the United States called the Holy Land Foundation trial. And in that trial, they introduced some records that were seized from Ibrahim al-Brassi's house, sub-basement of his house, which was actually the archive of the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States. And in that trial, the judge found, as a matter of fact in law, that the North American Islamic Trust was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. because that's what the Muslim Brotherhood's own documents said. And guess who owns our mosque in Spokane Valley? The North American Islamic Trust. So as a matter of law, it's owned by the Muslim Brotherhood. Okay. Then there was another member in America that was proven in this same trial, in the Holy Land Foundation trial, was listed by the judge.
A member organization.
A member organization, yeah, as an unindicted co-conspirator, actually, was the words that they used. And that was the Council of American Islamic Relations, CARE. And CARE was recognized by the city council president in Spokane. And even the FBI had to break off its relations with CARE in 2007 because of all the ties to terrorism. So I don't understand how a sitting elected official can do that. And John Ahern has taken up the huge task of going against this sitting city council president in Spokane. And, you know, John is very experienced in the legislature. And my goodness, I mean, and he obviously understands what CARE is all about. He would never have done some sort of salutation for CARE.
Never. He never would have taken the effort to recognize a terrorist organization. I feel it's necessary to pound that home that CARE was an unindicted co-conspirator as a terrorist organization. And for the city council to recognize them is just over the top. And John is the kind of guy that anybody that has met John loves him. I mean, he's a great guy. And he has been out there pounding the pavement. He has been knocking on doors and talking to people. And I'm just hoping that all those people that he has talked to have taken the time to fill out those little oval things on their ballot and has sent it in. If they do, I mean, he has a good chance of taking Mr. Stuckert out politically.
He does.
I know Mr. Stuckert has a lot of the union bosses on his side and liberal organizations that are literally dumping money into his race. But there's one thing about it, an effective grassroots campaign. If the people take the initiative once they've met John and send in their ballot, and I just want to emphasize, you know, you do have an hour and 18 minutes left to get that in to the post office before they pick up the mailbag and haul it out so it's postmarked today, and the ballot will be counted. So get those ballots in, folks.
So Dave Condon, John Ahern, and Mike Fagan, those are the key races in the city of Spokane. Mm-hmm. And I want to move real quick to a school district race. We don't talk about them a lot of times. And folks, for example, in the 4th Legislative District, there's over 50 elected positions in the 4th Legislative District alone. Sewer commissions, water commissions, cemetery districts, school districts. And school district 81 has been fairly controversial. And Patty Kienholz is running for that position. She's been pretty outspoken about education reform, a little shaky on the Common Core stuff, and we've had conversations, but clearly better, clearly, than the WEA, SEA, you know, appointed or anointed person for that position.
And, of course, that's another tough race that the NEA and Spokane Education Association will pour a lot of money and influence into to make certain that their person is elected. We have seen a number of people try to challenge that political cartel, and it's a tough one.
Yeah.
But getting someone in there that at least recognizes the weakness of Common Core and what it really is. Common Core really has been around a long time under other names, and it is destroying education in the United States.
It is. We got to turn this around. And it starts at the local level with the school districts and school boards where we can actually have that kind of an impact because, you know, they should be retaking and reclaiming the power they actually have.
You know, there is really a place for public education. And of course, everybody knows that's been around me that I encourage everyone, especially in the Christian community, to get their children out of the public school. It stands out in my memory when I visited one of the local middle schools when you were in Olympia and couldn't make it, Matt, that they presented letters to you. And I was looking through the letters and I thought, Everybody just took the effort, I guess, to print out their letter. And then it dawned on me that these eighth grade students who were in the gifted class didn't know how to write cursive. In other words, they couldn't write longhand. They could only print in the eighth grade. They were incapable of reading the original documents, their original founding documents of this country.
Jim, we have computers.
Oh, I keep forgetting. Yeah, we can let the computer think for us, can't we, Matt?
And that is a very scary thought. So District 81, Position 4, Patty Kienholz. Let's move on to the statewide ballot initiatives, and then we'll move to some of the local ballot initiatives. Statewide, for the seventh time? I think it's the seventh time. Somebody correct me. Whatever. It's been a lot.
A lot of them.
Two-thirds vote to raise taxes. Now Tim Iman has come up with an idea to make this a reality and force a constitutional amendment vote. Finally, go with the will of the people, overwhelming will of the people, both parties. Initiative 1366 seems like a pretty clear yes. You've been around a long time watching this. What are your thoughts?
Well, I still have an old T-shirt with grease all over it from Initiative 594 way back from the $30 car taxes, you know. But this initiative should pass. And if it does pass and the legislature doesn't take any action to ensure that a two-thirds vote is required to increase taxes, what happens, Matt?
Well, if they don't, then it becomes, it goes on to the ballot for the official final vote. If you're talking to initiative to the legislature, the legislature doesn't take any action whatsoever, law. If we decide to take action and put a competing ballot measure, it goes to the ballot.
Okay.
If we do nothing again, you know, it'll go straight. Okay. Straight through. But this will allow us, and this gets really confusing, folks, and this is how these guys get a little bit tricky. This literally will allow us and force us a constitutional amendment vote. And if we don't take that vote in the legislature, then there will be a massive, $1 billion?
Yeah.
It's $1 billion massive tax reduction. Okay.
A 1% tax deduction, right?
Right.
A full 1 point off of the sales tax.
Exactly.
Ooh. I mean, that's going to hurt.
Right. So we as the legislature can go through this. In the initiative process, there's initiative legislature, there's an straight-up initiative, and there's a referendum, right?
Right.
So initiative legislature is the one I was just talking about. The initiative actually, you know, becomes law, and then they try to take it to court. But the legislature can actually do something as well. And if there is something problematic with a court decision, we can actually send it to a vote of the people by putting a referendum clause on it. So don't let your legislators get away with this just being, oh, there the court goes again. There they are.
Right.
Yeah.
So this will require that the legislature actually pass a two-thirds requirement.
It will. Or $1 billion tax cut.
Or else, right. Or they're going really to tighten their belt.
People are like, can you imagine the government with less money to persecute property owners? My goodness.
Yeah, that. Now, you know, this is something I've always wanted to talk about is what would freedom really look like? How many of us have actually experienced the freedom that
unbelievable
our grandparents experienced around the turn of the century? I mean, can we handle it? Can we even get there? Can we mentally go there? Can we conceive of it?
I don't know. I don't know. I can, because I've seen what freedom looks like. And sometimes freedom's ugly, by the way. You know, sometimes you have a shack next to a mansion, and that's freedom.
Yeah.
It is. That's true freedom. Right. That's true property rights. And I've seen it in other countries. But
and if somebody just wants to sit around and drink beer and watch Oprah, they really don't have to get up and go to get out and do it, they're probably going to be comfortable in their poverty.
That's their choice.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. That's their choice. It's called freedom.
Freedom.
And for those people who want to take the initiative and risk their capital and work from before dawn till after dusk and try to build a business, they can do that. But it is, you know, like you were talking about your grandparents. Would they have been able to put together a sawmill and a logging company and do everything that your forebears did.
Exactly. And that's why we have to shrink the size of government. We have to shrink the size of Leviathan, and we can't just continue to spend. And see, this isn't tax and spend anymore. It's spend and tax. They are spending and obligating us, and then we have to raise taxes. All right, we're going to move on to Initiative 1401. Folks, this stuff is so tricky, okay? 1401 is a trick. Do not be tricked. Do not be fooled. Don't listen to the lies that are out there. It sounds really noble, okay? There's this horrible ivory trade, and all this stuff's happening. Look, the way that it's written in the debate that happened where Glenn Morgan shut down Paul Allen's attorney was hilarious, completely shut him down on this. It is a backdoor attempt at gun control and sword control, actually, because those are the things that have ivory in their handles.
Sure.
And that's what they're trying to do with this.
Yeah. Either that or somebody's keeping it from us, that there are elephants, rhinoceroses, tigers, lions, leopards, cheetahs, pangolins, whatever those are.
Yeah, I don't know what a pangolin is.
Marine turtles, sharks, and over in eastern Washington here. I think I missed it. I don't think we have too many elephants.
Yeah, be cautious with your pangolin. Is that what you said?
Pangolin, yeah.
Be careful with that, whatever it is.
I don't know what it is.
Probably needs an instruction manual. Either way, 1401 is a huge no vote. It is a backdoor attempt at gun control. Do not be fooled by this. They are overblowing this whole thing. And they're making it so that they can come after people that already have ivory in their guns, swords, etc. This is allowing like a retroactive attempted enforcement. Do not fall victim to this. It sounds great, but it is really not. I'm going to move on real quick to the advisory votes. For the first time, I have recommended a maintain for an advisory vote. Now, advisory votes are for taxes that have been voted on that have come up. Now, advisory vote number 10, a vote to maintain. The reason I'm saying that is because it's a net neutral restructuring of our oil response fund. And you know who wrote that bill? Yours truly.
Yeah.
I actually helped write part of that bill because the environmentalists wanted everything taxed, pipelines, all this stuff. No, we're not going to do that. But it can be more efficiently structured. And the oil producers actually said, yeah, well, this is more efficiently structured. It's actually going to spill response across county lines. If there's ever a catastrophe, we can organize and respond in a quick manner. Great, I hate using collaborative. I really hate using that word.
You mean, though,
but it was a great team effort. There you go.
There
all right.
Go.
All right. Then go ahead, Jim.
Yeah. This is a good example of cutting government waste, because cutting government waste just doesn't mean cutting taxes, because just cutting the taxes off by itself doesn't guarantee that. You have to direct them to actually use the money effectively in doing what they're supposed to be purposed to do.
Exactly. The rest of the advisory votes, though, are again a repeal, vote to repeal on the rest of the advisory votes, numbers 11, 12, and 13, because those are tax increases on medicine, gas, and businesses. And by the way, that tax on medicine, a horrible precedent for the future that they actually have now taxed medicine. Huge vote for repeal on those. Now let's move to the local propositions really quick. In the last couple minutes we have Spokane County Proposition 1. I've recommended a no vote on that for the switch from 3 to 5 commissioners for a couple reasons. One is the cost, but more is the secret agenda behind the scenes to withhold the boundaries until April or May so that the two current sitting county commissioners, Todd Mielke and Shelley O'Quinn, make it harder on any potential opponents. Now, that kind of backdoor agenda, secret agenda stuff, yeah, maybe we do warrant 5 commissioners, but I'm not going to be part of an agenda that's trying to keep people in power for the sake of keeping in power. And I'm sorry, I just have to call them out on that. That's exactly what's going on. And Al French, another Republican, already called him out on this. So anybody that's getting all upset on the, you know, listening right now, Al French has already called these guys out on this. And that's exactly the problem with this proposition.
You know, kudos to Al for doing that, too. It took a little courage to call him out on that. He is, of course, automatically a minority against the other two commissioners. But I think that the 5 commissioner idea, I used to support it, but then I really started looking into it and really thinking and praying about it, and it really doesn't address the core problem of finding good candidates for commissioner. I mean, that's right at the core of it. And we find good candidates, good effective candidates, like for example, our treasurer, Rob Chase. That will solve the problem. Just expanding. I mean, if five is good, why not 7, 9, 11? It's just going to create more expense.
It is. I have one last ballot measure to go over, actually three of them. It's Spokane Propositions number 1, 2, and 3. And, Jim, this is pretty easy. They're straight-up Marxist. I mean, this is like straight out of the Communist Manifesto, radical Marxist organization, Envision Spokane, that's been putting these ideas out. Easy no vote.
Yep. It is an absolutely not just no, but heck no.
But a heck no. Well, Jim, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. It's election night. 30 seconds. Words to folks out there that haven't turned their ballots in.
Oh, get them out there. Listen to what Matt has to say. Mark those ballots. Get them in the mail or get them in a drop box as soon as possible. Your vote really does make a difference.
Okay. If you want to know what my recommendations are, you can actually go to Patriot Radio. And I have posted it on the Facebook page right now. Literally, my recommendations are up there. The link is up there. If you have any other questions on any other races that aren't covered, because I try to just keep it to the key races that are out there. If you have any other questions, you can go to We Believe We Vote. Okay, We Believe We Vote is a great vetting process that's done locally. They do a tremendous job. So if you have any questions on any other races, go to WeBelieveWeVote.com. WeBelieveWeVote.com. And I have just put my recommendations up on Patriot Radio. Check that out. Folks, it's going to take all of us in the fight for freedom and liberty. We've got to show up. That's what's going to turn this around. And I know we're facing a lot of problems in our country right now, but we can start right here in Spokane Valley with Arnie Woodard and Sam Wood and electing them to city council. May God bless all of you. May he make this generation the greatest one.